Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing and growing people.
What I thought I'd do today is just reread that passage and just pause at odd things that caught my attention. Hopefully, this will sort of give you an insight as to where I begin contemplating the Bible, where I begin writing sermons and things, and it might help and encourage you to go home, read the Bible in a similar fashion. And if you sort of want to get more from the Bible, and you know what, I'd love to be able to read the Bible and get something from it, I really encourage you to connect in via Facebook to our morning prayer that I do, or Michelle does when I'm not around, on Monday to Friday at 9 o'clock. But the recordings are there all day, so you can go back and watch other morning prayers. And each morning prayer, in the middle, we do something called Lectio Divina, which literally means holy reading or divine reading. And it's a way of just entering into the Bible and hearing God's voice, or seeking God's voice for your life. And it's something similar to what we're going to do this morning. Not quite exactly, but almost. So it begins that the apostles returned from their mission and they gathered around Jesus. First thing that catches my mind there, gathered. It's a word that I'm using quite a lot. Gathering. Lots of gathering. Whether gathering is a good thing or a bad thing, whether we feel anxious about gathering or excited about gathering. I'm obviously thinking about gathering the people of God again, working out how we might gather as a family. And here in the scriptures, this word gather. They gathered around Jesus. Yes, that is what I desire. That we gather round Jesus. We don't gather round particular preferences in worship. We don't gather round particular songs or liturgy or not liturgy. We don't gather even around me. Please don't gather round me. There was a time, a year into my time here at St. Peter's, when a particular group of people invited me to have a conversation. And as you know, or I hope you know by now, I'm always up for conversation. Even if you are going to criticize me, I'm up for conversation. I like to listen. And this particular group of people asked me to come, and they said to me in no uncertain terms, "We want to know your vision for St. Peter's so that we can choose whether or not we want to be a part of it or not." And I went, "What? That's a lot of pressure on me. Please tell me you don't come to St. Peter's because of me. Don't tell me that you choose what church you're a part of because of me. That's a lot of pressure on your spiritual life. I know that I obviously have a big impact on people's experience and enjoyment or lack of enjoyment of St. Peter's and the worship here. But we shouldn't be gathering around Ned Lum. We should be gathering around Jesus. Each of us, even me." They gathered around Jesus and they told them all that they had done and taught. I long for the day, and maybe this is where the Lord is leading us as we gather around him afresh. I long for the day when each of us can come on a Sunday and tell God and one another what we have done and what we have taught. Here, we're seeing the encouragement for all God's people to be, in some way, teachers. Now, before you feel the pressure going, "Oh, I don't want to be a teacher. No, I'm not called to be..." That's fine. But you need to know that however you lead your life, you are teaching others by your example. You cannot escape that. That people will watch you and learn things from you. And maybe, if they find out about your faith, they will learn what faith looks like. Whether you like it or not, you are there to teach people. Just by living. Just by your example. Be aware of that. Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." I don't know about you, but certainly this sounds like good news. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. We're exhausted, many of us, just by being, just by navigating all that has happened the last 18 months or even more, perhaps. Do you need to hear that God invites you away to rest a while? Take him up on that invitation. Don't say to him, yeah. When I finish these jobs, then I'll do it. Yeah, when I finish these jobs, this is really important. I really need to do these things. Any point God can create rest moments in your day. Take him up on those opportunities. And notice, I don't know if you saw it, he talks to them as a group. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves. Plural. How might we as a people go away with Jesus and rest a while together? Be a place of rest and refuge. Yesterday, we had wonder and worship, and we gathered outside under the gazebo, and a few of us did a Bible study. It was on Psalm 122. And one of the questions, the first question that this Bible study asked us to reflect on was, what goes through your mind, or what is in your heart, when you gather with other Christians in worship? I hope he doesn't mind, but David said, I guess it should be. I said, not what it should be, what is it actually? When you think about gathering with other Christians, what goes through your mind and your heart? And thank you to God, we were all honest with one another. And we're able to maybe do a bit of confession to one another. But it's not always edifying and glorifying the thoughts that go through our head when we think about gathering for worship. But if we gather around Jesus, it should be an invitation to rest. It should be an invitation to put down the burdens and the strife and all of those masks that we wear, and we should be able to just rest in God's presence and therefore in one another's presence as we come. I hope that we can get to a point at St. Peter's. It would be a great dream of mine that you all felt that you could come through those doors on a Sunday morning and feel like you can leave stuff at the door and just come in as you are, be welcomed just as you are, without any pretense, without any sense of, I'm coming in here for a fight, I'm coming in here ready to have a battle, I'm coming in here, you know, just to be able to leave it all and come and just go. Now, obviously, there's work to be done on that, but that is the invitation here. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. This phrase, many were coming and going, struck me as I read it. I don't know if like me, when you heard it, when I read it the first time, you sort of heard that phrase. Oh, I don't know if I'm coming or going. I don't know if they are coming or going. At this time, as we transition out of lockdown and restrictions, however we navigate that, and that's all very uncertain, as we come to Sunday worship, not quite as it was, not quite as we feel it should be, as we begin to work out what the future looks like, quite a lot of us are already having the conversation, if we don't know who's coming or going, We are uncertain and anxious about that. We want to sort of know whether people are coming or going. And maybe you don't even know if you're coming or going. In terms of church, in terms of other relationships, other activities in your life. Don't know if you're coming or going. Well, it's even more important to hear that invitation of the Lord to come away to a deserted place, to rest a while, to have leisure to eat. Hear the table of the Lord, a foretaste of that heavenly banquet. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves, plural again. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. Important, come back to it in just a moment. They recognized them. They saw the disciples going away with Jesus. And they went, ah, those are the people that follow this Jesus. I wonder whether people recognize you or us as followers of Jesus. Here again, it is a call, just as we were called to be teachers in our own way, maybe not for a ministry of teaching, but certainly to teach by our example. Here, we see that we are all called to be witnesses, to be recognized as followers of Jesus. In this way, we are all called to the ministry of evangelism, even if we're not called to be evangelists. We're all called to be recognized as followers of Jesus in our life, to tell people that we are followers of Jesus. I wonder whether or not we're up for that task and that challenge. And notice that they are doing that work of witnessing and evangelism even as they're going to rest with the Lord. That even in rest, the Lord is able to use us. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them. Compassion. I know this just from many times being told it in sermons, but compassion in the Greek literally means a stirring of the gut. It's this kind of gut feeling where it just churns in him. It's a sort of pain for them, not just the pity of, oh, bless them, you know. It's a, oh, punch in the stomach when he sees their situation. God looks at your situation and he has compassion on you. And I wonder whether you, when you look at the crowd of our society, our culture, our world, whether you look upon the crowd and have compassion on them. I have to admit, if I'm being honest with you, compassion is perhaps sometimes a secondary feeling. Because often, in my brokenness and in my pain and in my tiredness, I look at the crowd and think, oh God, please, not me. You know, I feel just this sort of sense of overwhelming feeling of what I am going to have to do, rather than putting myself in an empathetic place for them. But as we're all called to be teachers in our own way, and we're all called to be witnesses or evangelists in our own way, even though we're not called to be specific ministries of teaching or evangelism, here, with this compassion, we're all being called to be prophetic. Some of us might be called to specific ministries of prophets, but we're all called to be prophetic. And what I mean by the prophetic is feeling God's emotions for things. By spending time in prayer and looking at the situation, looking at the world, and seeing it as God sees it, and he sees it with compassion, that gut churning. We're all called to have that gut churn for the world, this compassion. Oh, if only they knew the joy and the hope that could be set before them. Seeing in others their pain and their brokenness and to say, oh, I want to do something about that. That is the prophetic urge. And as I said, we're all called to have it. We're all called to have compassion on others. Some of us are called to have specific ministries, just like we have specific ministries of teaching and specific ministries of evangelism. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He had this compassion. And then he noticed that these people didn't really have someone to gather and to guide, to lead and to protect, to oversee, to minister to them. And so he stepped in. He steps in as the good shepherd. And we are all called, even if it's not to a specific ministry of pastoral ministry, we are all called to be shepherds, to be people who gather and watch over one another, to care and to tend for one another. This is a big invitation for you from St. Peter's, because I feel we need shepherds. Each and every one of us needs to be a shepherd, and each one of us needs to be shepherded. We need to watch out for one another, particularly in this next season, to tend to the wounds that have been inflicted upon us, to heal and to find healing. Yes, there are some who are called to specific ministries of shepherding, but all of us are called to pastoral ministry of some kind because we gather around Jesus. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of the Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him. I just want to pause. Before, I said they recognized them. Now that they've been with Jesus, they go out and they're seen again. This time, people recognize him, Jesus. When we leave this place, people should stop recognizing us, or just recognizing us as followers of Jesus. They should also look at us and recognize Jesus. That we come away with Jesus into this time and place together. We receive from him the word through his spirit, the sacrament through his spirit, and we go out from this place carrying Jesus, so that we are transformed into his likeness, so that people will recognize him within us. People at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. We've talked about teaching. We've talked about evangelism. We've talked about prophets. We've talked about shepherding. And here we have the apostolic ministry. Now, there are some who are called to specific apostolic ministry, bishops and priests particularly. But I'm talking more in broad terms, that we're all called to be sent. To send, to be sent. Apostles are the people who go into villages and cities and farms and brings the needs of the world to Jesus, to identify who it is that is sick in those places and to bring Jesus to them. This is the apostolic ministry, the missionary spirit. Those people who are called to travel to villages and cities and farms and to bring Jesus to the needs of those places. We're all called in some way to do that. Although some of us are called to specific missionary and apostolic ministry. And from that we return to the beginning of the Bible passage. The apostles returned from their mission and gathered around Jesus. It's this cycle of discipleship and vocation and ministry and mission. This is the life of the church, and we need to begin to get this wheel turning, this motor running. We need to gather around Jesus to tell each other of what we have done and what we have taught. We are to come away and rest with each other in the presence of Jesus. We have come to be recognized by others as the people of God. We are to look at the world and have compassion upon them, pray and intercede for them. We need to identify that we all need healing and the world needs healing, and to be shepherds. We recognize this in the presence of God. And then we go back out carrying Jesus so that we would be recognized again as people of God. And not only that, but that Jesus would be recognized in us. And we go to villages and cities and farms and towns, in your street, in your home, in your workplaces, your relationships, and we go to bring Jesus to them so that they might know the healing of God and then for be gathered back in with us. And so the cycle continues. That is the life of the church. That is what we're being invited to do at St. Peter's. So let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you gather us around yourself to rest and to receive. And so this morning we come. We leave all our cynicism and skepticism at the door. We open ourselves afresh to your Holy Spirit to receive from you peace and rest, yes, but also energy and a calling on our lives. We receive it in the Word of God and, Lord, in the body of Christ. Send us out today with a fresh calling on our lives to be all of these things and maybe even to step into specific ministries. Let's just wait upon the Lord and receive what we need to receive this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, fall upon us, your people. Give us rest and restoration that we need. Speak to us. It might be that as I read that passage and talked it through, you had a specific thing which stuck with you. Maybe one of the ministries stuck with you. Maybe you went, yes, I really know that feeling of that gut churning of the Lord. I know that. Well, maybe the Lord is calling you to be a prophet. Maybe you came alive when you thought about people recognizing you as a Christian and for them maybe to know that for themselves. Maybe you're being called to be an evangelist. Maybe when I talked about the need for healing of people, you felt, yes, maybe. That's me. Maybe you're being called to be a shepherd. Maybe this sense of going to villages, cities, towns, farms, workplaces and everything and taking Jesus in there for the needs of the people there. Maybe you're being called to be an apostle in some way. Maybe that sense of coming with the people of God and telling what you've done and teaching, maybe that sparked something in you. Maybe you're called specifically to be a teacher. Open yourselves up to the possibility that the Lord is calling you to a specific ministry, because I believe he is. But there's no such thing as an unused disciple of Jesus. So explore that. So we continue on in our service. And maybe you want to have a chat with me afterwards. If you want to chat with Simon or Michelle, we'd love to have conversations with you about that.